Aren't you glad to be in God's house? God is awesome all the time. Now let's give the Lord a hand clap. Listen, Advent, God came, praise God. God came in the flesh to help take care of us. God's awesome. Yes, 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 yes. All right, let's get this thing going in the right direction here. There we go. Oh, okay. Let's go ahead and let's read this and then we're gonna start service. Okay, ready? Start the sermon. Get your Bible out. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. I actually was just going to read one scripture, and as I got going, I realized that other scriptures tell you how to do things and also tells you what happens if you don't. So whenever you read a scripture, read it contextually. Read before it and after it, and it'll give you a clearer focus of what it's saying. Here it is, verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Wow. I'll get back to that in a minute. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for the ability to be able to come to this house and worship you, Lord, in spite of everything that's going on. You're still in control. You still have everything together. And we still can trust you with our very heart and life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now you can be seated. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I should have put Mrs. Gold's kindergarten class. Amen. But here it is. Mrs. Gertie's. Kindergarten class, they're going to describe how to cook a turkey. Anybody cook a turkey Thursday? Anybody still eating turkey? Amen. That's right. So here it is. Russell, this is a kindergarten class now. You cut the turkey up, put it in the oven for 10 minutes and 300 degrees. You put gravy on it and eat it. How many want to eat that thing? Megan, you cut it into 16 pieces, then you leave it in the oven for 15 minutes at 4 degrees. You take it out, let it cool. Then after 5 minutes, then you eat it. I think I'd rather eat Russell's turkey than Megan's turkey. Danny, you put some salt on it to make it taste good, then you put it in the oven, then you cook it for an hour at 5 degrees, then you eat it. So far, nothing's been very appetizing. I'm pretty sure that the Food Network is not looking at any of these recipes. Brandon, this is real people, Brandon. First you buy it at Fred Meyer. Then you cut it up and cook it for 15 hours at 200 degrees. He likes his done. Then you take it out, if you can find it, and eat it. Along with the call to the fire department. Megan, chicken. You put it in the oven for 25 minutes and 25 degrees, and you put gravy on it, and you eat it. Irene, put it on a plate, put it in the oven with gravy. You cook it for 1 minute and for 100 degrees. Then it's all cooked. Wow. Rachel Ray's got nothing on this girl. Your mom and dad cuts it, and then you eat. And then finally, Mariah says, first you cut the bones out, then you put it in the oven for 10 hours at 600 degrees. Her and Brandon got something going on here. Then you put it on the table and you eat it. Anybody hungry now? Amen. Well, let's talk about this now. I want to talk to you for a few minutes on. Here you go. Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it out. One more time. We're going to talk about gratitude today, all right? This is our bridge between Thanksgiving and Christmas, all right? Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. Amen? Now, this Thanksgiving and this Christmas, because of all the stuff that's going on around us, and there's a lot of things that we would love to do, but we can't. There's a lot of things we love. We think about the memories of all these things going on, but we can't seem to get it together. It used to be called the holiday blues. But now I'm going to call it the COVID blues. The holiday blues is a very real thing. And now the COVID blues is a very real thing. And so how do we as a church lead others into an expression of gratitude when being thankful is the last thing you want to do? Matter of fact, you know, a lot of times lately, just going and finding a rock to crawl under will be a nice thing. Amen? And so watch this. They talk about the worst recession we've had in 30 years, you know, Black Friday sales. They talked about you don't really get any sales anymore because everybody's trying to recoup from last year. And I watched the CEO from Dollar Store come on Fox News the other morning, and he said, we're going to raise our base prices to $1.25. So it's no longer the dollar store. Now it's $4 for $5 store. Amen? And so he said, we can't even keep up with what's going on. Plus, we can't get the stuff in. You know, and I got a pizza from Little Caesars yesterday, a cheese pizza. And I looked at it and said, where's the cheese? So this is just it's something we have to learn to adjust to. And say it's not going to be this way forever, but right at this moment, the world, the economy, everything is turned upside down. Everybody's having to do things now that they thought they would never have to do, and things are happening in such a way, you know, that people, I've noticed this, and I do a lot of counseling with people that have this thing going on with them, and that is, again, not the holiday blues, but they're singing the COVID blues. So if you're on this list, I'm getting to put some things on this list. If you're experiencing, keep up with it in your own mind, how many you're experiencing. I'll tell you after we read them what's going on, okay? So here's the signs of the COVID blues, all right? Ready? You're feeling sad and discouraged. You find yourself at a loss of interest for even anything going on anymore. You have appetite problems, weight change. You maybe get gaining weight or losing weight. You get restless. You have a lack of energy. You're feeling hopeless, difficulty concentrating, persistent thoughts of death or suicide, withdrawal, and various physical symptoms. Now, do not raise your hands, but just let me tell you, if you've got more than one of those symptoms, just more than one, did you hear me? More than one of those symptoms, then you may be suffering from the COVID blues. More than one. I'm not naming all, just more than one. Amen. If you've got one, it could be likely, but if you've got two or plus, then you need to find somebody that you can talk to, that you can actually find a way to get stuff off of you. The number one way to get stuff off of you is to pray. Pray without ceasing. That's what it said. And then number two is to be thankful. If you're not thankful, then it says quench not the spirit. The Spirit of God is moving within us, even though the economy and all this stuff's going on, all these relations are happening, still the Spirit of God is moving, and He has not been stopped. God does not just trickle out. God's got an abundance of His Spirit, and this is the age of the Spirit. Once Revelation kicks in, then the Spirit's going to be pulled back, and it's going to be like the Old Testament. But until then, God's Spirit's here. God's Spirit's powerful. But you can quench the Spirit by being unthankful and refusing to pray. Hear it? You can quench the Spirit in your life by being unthankful and by refusing to pray. So let's just go ahead now. We're going to talk just a little bit. It's not going to be a long time today, but it's going to be a little while anyway, okay? Watch this now. Listen carefully. In order to change your attitude and to become grateful again, and even to be able to enjoy this season of thankfulness, some things you got to do. Let me ask you a question. Don't look at the person beside you. Don't point at the person beside you. I want you to take a personal inventory. Personal. Have you checked your attitude lately? Have you checked it? I mean, has somebody ever told you, said, you know what? You kind of don't seem like yourself. You seem out of sorts. We used to have fun doing this, and now we're not having fun at all. Used to, when this thing happened to you, you would laugh, and now you're losing your cool. If that's happening to you, you need to check your attitude. And then you need to learn to become grateful, because you know what? Things aren't like they were. No, they're not. But I can tell you one thing. They're not as bad as they could be, and not as bad as they're going to be once Revelation kicks in, the book of Revelation. Once that happens, and we're going back into the book of Revelation, the very first of the year. So our very first sermon in the new year is going to be how to handle it when Revelation breaks loose. How you can survive all this, right? So watch. So learn to become grateful again. Learn how to thank God for even the smallest of things. And I'm going to tell you, I like to give things the same letters or do acrostics or acronyms, because it makes it easier for you to remember when you're in the heat of the battle. So you have to make a conscious effort to change some areas in your life. Matter of fact, there's five areas we're going to talk about. I promise you I won't keep you long. But if you've already got a bad attitude, I've already kept you longer than you want to be here. Somebody smile. So I know you're not you. Amen. Ready? Here we go. Ready? Number one. The first thing is you got to check your faith. Check it. Ask God to help you. Talk to Him. He'll talk back to you. Amen. You got to worry about, or thought, not worry, but be concerned about, is my faith still strong? Is my faith in check? Okay? You keep the faith that God is really in control. Like I told you, I wear this thing, and y'all have them too. God's got this from Bethany, what she said when she was sick. And like I told you many times before, this is not a slogan. This is a lifestyle. I find myself all the time saying, God's got this. I know God's got this. I've put it in His hands. I'm taking my hands off of the throttle because I know God's got this. And I have people who say, well, why don't you see Him working? What I have discovered is when I've learned this, and I hope you've learned this too, when God seems to be the most silent in your life, listen carefully. When God seems to be the most silent in your life, that's usually when He's more active than you ever imagined. Y'all do that. Listen, when God is silent, you can't hear Him, you can't see Him, you have no idea where He's at. You might even ask Him, God, where are you at? Understand this, that's usually when He's doing the most. Amen? Because He's keeping you out of the way. And He's handling it. Amen? Amen. I remember when I was on the rescue squad, and y'all guys that did the rescue and fire, I could have fought the fire better, and I could have been do more rescue if I didn't have to keep the crowds away. I had to keep the people out of the way, the rubberneckers and all the people wanting to look at everything. I couldn't keep them out of the way. We had to have guys just go keep everybody out of the way so we could do our stuff. But you know what? There's times where God said, I'm just going to stay silent. And if I stay silent, then they'll stay out of my way. Amen? So trust God. Listen, you can trust Him to take control of your situation. And remember this, when He takes good care of your situation, it's going to be in His time, in His way. His time, in His way. So many times we put God on the clock, we've got Him all figured out, and we've got the moves all taken care of, and we've got it all, everything under control, and God's saying, I don't know who you think you are, but if you want me to help you, you better let me help you get out of the way. Amen? Look, and watch this. I love this. Jesus responded on that ship that night, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then He got up and He rebuked the winds and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. They thought He was sleeping. They thought He didn't even care, because He was in the back snoring while the storm was roaring. That's a good slogan right there. You think God is snoring while the storm is roaring, but God's still awake and God's watching. And He's got you. So number one, faith. Number two, and this is the hardest one of all. I love that. Sometimes you just have to pick yourself up and carry on. See that poor old orange? He been peeled? Look, have you been peeled lately? Amen. So watch this. Here's the hardest one of all. I'm going to tell you to begin with. Forgive. Wow. Some of y'all just felt a sucker punch, or you thought it was a sucker punch. You felt a gut punch. Before I get through, you may feel two or three gut punches, but just remember this, I feel them too. Forgive. Do we really walk in forgiveness? Do we really, really want to give other people forgiveness like Christ gave us forgiveness? Do we really want to show grace and mercy to everyone that wrongs us or just a selected few? Do we have everyone picked out on our, we got these guys, that's in my grace and mercy list. I'll give them grace and mercy. These guys, they don't deserve it. They're not going to get it. And so you live life in a knot. You live life in a bind. You live life and you're trying to be thankful, but it's choking your thankfulness because you can't forgive. And so now that hinders your forgiveness, it hinders your thankfulness, and it quenches the spirit. And you walk around blaming the other person. But honestly, at this point, they've got nothing to do with it. Nothing. It's all on you now. You see, first you forgive your past. There's things in my past that people have done things to me that I just have to move on and quit showing up, tearing the bandage off and showing what happened to me in the past. And then there's things I did in the past I had to forgive myself for. And there's things I've done lately. I said the wrong thing at the wrong time. I've got size 13 shoe. I'm telling you, I am amazing. I can put both feet in my mouth at the same time and still eat a turkey leg. So you forgive the past. You forgive yourself. Then you forgive those in front of you. That's the people you're in fellowship with. That's the people that you think deserve your forgiveness. And then there's those that are not in front of you, the people that your fellowship is broken. I hear people all the time, honestly, they tell me this, and I have to tell you, I have my reservations. They say, well, we forgave them. Yeah, we forgive them. Really? We put it behind us. Really? Then why do you keep dragging it? When God puts the opportunity before you, but not just forgiveness, but the possibility of some type of reconciliation, you shut it down and say that can't be God. Really? We serve a God of reconciliation. The cross takes away all. Y'all say all. The cross takes away all your abilities and all your rights to not forgive somebody. And the cross also takes away. Now, I didn't say you got to be around them. I didn't say you had to be best buds with them, but reconciliation. I can tell when you're reconciled. You know how you tell when somebody's reconciled and when they're forgiven? When you speak their name, they don't start going, or when you talk about them, they're going, can we talk about something else, please? Oh, I love this one. You know, they're having a hard time, and you hear this under their breath. They deserve it. Really? I guarantee there's people out there saying the same thing about you. And there's people out there saying the same thing about me. So forgive your past, forgive yourself, forgive those that you're in fellowship with, and the hardest one of all is to forgive those that you're not in fellowship with. I didn't say you had any best buds. I didn't say you had to go hang out. I didn't say y'all had to go, you know, let's go to Burger King, get us a $12 burger, and go somewhere. No, I'm just reconcile. Okay? Reconcile means just to make the books even again, make the books level again. That's all. Okay? So remember this. Let me tell you something. Let's get a little deeper here. Forgiveness is two parts. First, there's the act. An act is the decision. You've decided to forgive them. And this is where many people get stuck. I've been studying this and studying forgiveness and studying forgiveness and studying forgiveness. And I finally come to the conclusion that this is where many stop and say they forgave everybody. That is the act, the decision to forgive. Well, I forgave them, so that should be enough. Really? You made the decision to forgive them, so that means they're forgiven. No, that means that you said that the opportunity for forgiveness is now open. That's what a decision is. You've made the opportunity for forgiveness to be open, but it doesn't mean you forgive them. I'm sorry, it is not. The act is only the door. I guarantee you, if you go to McDonald's today and stand at the door and holler in, do all beef, patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and sesame seed bun, they're going to run to you and give you a Big Mac. No. They're going to say, come on in here and order. We got this machine here. You can order a machine. You can talk to somebody. But we can't hear you from the door. Forgiveness is more than just the act or the decision to forgive. That's the second part, and that's the action. Now, what's the direction? The other is a decision. I mean, this one now is the direction. Because once you have the action of forgiveness, now you're moving in direction of healing. Again, you ain't got to be best buds. You ain't got to go out together. You ain't got to whatever. But at least now you're moving in the direction of healing, because I promise you, when you mention somebody's name and it still hurts you, you have not forgiven them. And there is, listen to me, you're moving farther from healing than toward healing. You can talk all you want. You can talk a good game. But act without action, decision without direction, moves you away from healing, not toward healing. And God, with his son on that cross, took away all your rights to do that. And all this, remember this too now. Remember this. There's people that might need to forgive you too. So, here we go. We're going a little bit deeper. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Now you say, wait a minute. That means that if I don't forgive others, I'm going to go to hell. That's not what that means. The only thing that gets you into heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. The only thing. The cross is the only thing. It's the cross plus nothing gets you into heaven. Okay? It's not talking about heaven now. Listen carefully. It's talking about a bridge and a barrier. When you forgive others, then, I mean really forgive them, that begins to have a bridge built. And in that bridge, that's when things can happen. Maybe not get to be best friends again, maybe not even visit again, but at least now you're not sick at your stomach every time their name is mentioned. You're not having a hard time if you find out that you're going to have to see them. Because you have actually going in the direction of healing. It doesn't mean it's all done at once. It might take years, but still, you're working in that direction. So there's a bridge being built when you forgive others. But notice there's a bridge when you don't forgive. It's a bridge for the others, and it's a bridge for you to God. Because God, when He works on you for your sins, when He starts working on you and starts His forgiveness process, it changes your life. You feel different. You act different. You feel clean. You feel strong. You feel like something good is happening. But if you don't forgive others, if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now there's a barrier. It's not a bridge. It's a barrier. And so not only are you having a hard time with others that you haven't forgiven, but you're having a hard time with you and God. I've seen people like that. And I have to admit, I've been there. And I couldn't understand why I was so dry spiritually. I couldn't understand why it was hurting me so bad. I couldn't seem to get it right with God. It's because, watch, I had taken the bridge and let the bridge become a barrier. So in a nutshell, watch this. If it's in your power to mend, or it's in your power to either mend a relationship or hinder a relationship. When you mend a relationship with others, you mend the relationship with the Father. When you refuse the relationship, I'm not talking about, remember, again, I can't say it enough. You ain't got to go to Burger King with them. You ain't got to go wherever fishing with them. It just means that you've got them off your list, the IOU list. Just take them off that IOU list. Once you take them off the IOU list, whether you're with them or not, at least now you don't have that feeling that they owe you something because they hurt you, but instead they're free and you're free. You've heard this saying so many times, by not forgiving somebody for what they've done to you is like taking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die. It's not going to happen. So then, ready? I'm going to move on. Y'all look like y'all can stand me to move on. Here we go. We should certainly count our blessings, but we should also make our blessings count. Woo! Ready? Face. Ready? This is simple. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look forward, not backwards. You keep looking backwards, you can't enjoy the blessings right now. Oh yeah, I remember the first year, I remember we had the perfect little Christmas, you know, when I was a kid. We went to my grandmama's house, my mama's mama, on Christmas Eve, and we all ate and stuffed ourselves, and then we opened up presents around the tree, and then we went home, and that morning we had presents at our house, and then we went to my daddy's mama that afternoon, and that was Christmas to me, and the stuff they always cooked. That I remember the first year after my grandmama died, it changed. Big time changed. And then I remember my granddaddy started dating a woman, another woman, and it changed even more. And then my grandmama Linton died, and it changed even more. If I just keep looking backwards, I'll just be hurt because things are not like they were when I was 12, 13, 14 years old, 15 years old, 16 years old. It all changed. And as people started dying out and dying off and all kinds of things were going on, you can't look backwards to enjoy your blessings. You got to be in it right now. You got to do it right this minute. God, how are you blessing me? Well, maybe gas is going crazy, and maybe the Dollar General is going to be $1.25. But you know what? There's some countries, honestly, there's some countries that they would adore to have a Dollar Tree and pay $10 for a dollar item. They would adore it. I remember we sent some missionaries to not Puerto Rico, but one of those places down there, and my first wife and some kids from the church, another lady from the church, they all went down to wherever it was at, I can't remember. But they said they got tired of eating. They were sleeping on the church floor, and they said the rats were big as house cats. And I remember they said they got tired of eating some of the mess they had, so they decided they wanted chicken. And they had to walk five miles. To get two chickens to feed 20-something people. And the chickens were $10 a piece. And this is back in the 80s. And they said the people were so excited to be able to have that little piece of chicken. You know what? Maybe yesterday was not what you were expecting. Maybe Thanksgiving was not what you were expecting. But thank God. Just thank God for the little blessings that you did get. Be thankful. Thank you, God, that I can see. Thank you, God, that I can taste. Thank you, God, that I can hear. Thank you, God, that I can be with people. There's still people in my family that I love, and they love me. Thank you, God, for there's blessings out there if you don't keep focusing backwards. As long as you focus backwards, you're going to stay miserable, and you will not be thankful. Next, just to seek His face. Let him take care of the rest. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I'm almost through. Somebody say, praise God. If you're grateful for everything, then whatever you have is enough. Wow. Wow. Get ready. Ready? Focus. Focus on the gifts in front of you. Focus on what you have, not what you don't have. One of the ways I found to help a grieving person, and I do this myself, I do it all the time when I find myself grieving over something. You know, I was walking through Lowe's yesterday, and I was doing good. You know, Bethany died 3 years ago now, last week, 3 years ago. And I'm walking through Lowe's yesterday, and everything's cool. And, of course, normally they got tools and everything everywhere, half price, whatever. And now they didn't have all that. They just had stuff out there that was already out there, been out there for 6 months, you know. So I go through, I'm looking at the stuff, and I'm going, I didn't go there for that, but I just always like to see the Black Friday stuff. And Vincent said, there's nothing here. And so, as I'm saying that, they start playing a song, a Christmas song. And it happened to be, I didn't know, understand at the time, but as soon as they started playing the Christmas song, my heart jumped. And when my heart jumped, all I could see was Bethany lying in that bed. And so here it is, Bethany lying in that bed and then dying. And that song brought it back. Whatever song it was, I can't remember now, but it was something that was playing while she was lying there dying. And I found myself tearing up. And I said, it's been 3 years. You know, I shouldn't have this shock value that I just got. I mean, he's just a shock to the soul. But you see, what I've learned to do is, no, we don't have her presence here. Not a bit. As far as her physical presence. That's something we don't have. What we do have is some great memories. And these things, I've given out 900 of them. You know, I give them out 3 or 4 a week to people that are going through problems, and they see it and they go, man, that's awesome. And I give it to other people. You know, I was with Dudley when Dudley had his surgery. We were sitting in the room, and this girl came up, and we were wearing masks, and so I didn't recognize her. And says, don't you remember, you're Mr. Linton, you're Bethany's dad. Yeah. She said, you don't recognize me? No. She said, well, Bethany, stay with me some. Of course, she named off, she had that mask on, and she named off where she worked. And I asked her, so are you speaking English? And she now where she worked again. I said, you speaking English? So Linda popped up and said, she's talking about the Chinese restaurant on 33. I said, oh, the Hung Chow Flung Chow place. And she said, I'm so sorry. And I showed her this. And I took it off my arm. And I said, I know Bethany, we want you to have this. And I put it on her arm. And her eyes teared up, and she told me, she said, I will never take it off. She said, I can hear her saying that. You see, what I don't have is Bethany. I don't have her presence, but what I do have is a lot of good memories and some tough ones, but she's still speaking, and she speaks every day very loudly. She speaks to me every day. Let God have it, Dad. Let God have it, Dad. Let God have it. You see, thank God for the gifts in front of you and trust God for the gifts that are coming. I thank you for what's going on around us, God. I thank you, Lord, that I can walk. I thank you, Lord, that I can talk. I thank you, God, I've got a car. I thank you, God, I have a house. I thank you that I have a wife. I thank you that I have kids. I thank you for these things, God. Yes, we lost Bethany, but guess what? There's still more around here. I can either lay down in the loss of Bethany, or I can rejoice in what I still have, and that's the rest of my family. See, and also, focus on the eternal reward, not just a temporary home here on earth. And then finally, I'm getting ready to close. Somebody say, that's two. Really? Some people complain because God put thorns on roses, while others praise Him for putting roses among the thorns. I'm getting ready to pull it in. The true meaning of Thanksgiving and the true meaning of Christmas is God has provided for our spiritual and our physical needs. I challenge you today to tell God how thankful you are, what He has given you, but also thank Him for what He's not given you. Because I can guarantee you, if He gave you everything you deserved, you wouldn't be here. You'd be in a jail somewhere. You may be in a graveyard somewhere. If He gave you everything you deserved. So I thank God for what He's given me, and I thank Him for what He hasn't given me. Amen. I tell those guys in B5 all the time, I say, fellas, don't you think I'm looking out my nose at you? I am not looking out my nose at you. I said, because my daughter was in the same situation. I said, I know others are in that same situation. I've been doing this for 18 years. I said, I never look down at my nose at anybody, because you know what? As soon as I start looking down my nose, it's going to hit me. Trust God. So watch this. Here we go. This is real quick. I'm getting ready to get ready to close. Brandon, you can come and get ready to start playing something, bro. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Give thanks. That word thanks is where we get the word Eucharist. So now this is more than just going, thank you. Thank you very much. This is some powerful stuff. If this is where we get the word Eucharist from, that means this thankfulness here is some powerful stuff. It has its roots in God. So it's coming from God and it's going back to God. Thankfulness. And it says in all things. That word all means every, even the most minute things. Thank Him. And so I did do this little acrostic here. Just quickly. First, take nothing for granted. The other night on a Wednesday night, we were getting ready to do Building Lives for the Kingdom, the podcast or whatever you call that thing, Facebook Live, and Dudley was taken to the emergency room. So I went on to the emergency room and Linda and I were going to do the Facebook Live together, but she did it without me. And she didn't even need me. She was doing great. She's so good at this. And she said, instead of just saying what we're thankful for, she said, and she named, I think I got it right. Y'all can look it back up in Facebook Live, Building Lives for the Kingdom. But she said, granted. Granted means things that were given to you. She says, and so many times we take things for granted. And then she started saying, y'all tell me some stuff that you may have taken for granted, but now you've learned not to. And they went on down the line. There was some awesome stuff. And so take nothing for granted. Listen to this. 1 Peter 4:7-11, the Message version. Everything in the world is being wrapped up. You think so? It is. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Wow. Take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Christ, and He'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. Encores to the end of time. Oh, yes. Let me just break that down. First, take nothing for granted. And everything in the world is about to be wrapped up. So don't take anything for granted. That's pretty simple. You know, Thanksgiving Day, I left the house for a few minutes. When I come back, guess what we didn't have? Electricity. And I saw nobody in the neighborhood. They were all standing around. They were They watch the football games and cook all the stuff, and they're all kind of just standing around going, well, now what we're going to do? I reckon we're going to have to talk. I thought about it then. I said, God, you know what? I believe you're not playing a joke on us. You're actually doing something very strategic, because now people you only see once or twice a year, instead of talking with your mouth full, now y'all got to talk. Let's talk about stuff. Amen. Take nothing for granted. Number two, humble yourselves before God. It says stay wide awake in prayer. You got to be asking God for direction, leading you and showing you. And then action. Keep moving forward. Don't let circumstances stop you. Most of all, love each other. If your life depends on it, love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry. I just read it to you. A bed to the homeless. Cheerfully be generous with different things God gave you, passing them around. So all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Christ, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. On course to the end of time. Then, never forget, God's always in control. There's nothing that he's not in complete control over. Psalms 135, 6 and 7, he does whatever he pleases in heaven and on earth, in the seas and on the ocean depths. He causes the clouds to arise from the end of the earth, making lightning bolts accompany the rain, and brings the wind out of storehouses. Okay, keep your eyes on the blesser, not the blessing. Keep your eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put it with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right along God, right beside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, and the long litany of hostility that he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. And then finally, say thanks often. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up, bow your head, close your eyes. Is Thanksgiving a season that you endure? Is Thanksgiving a season that you just think of it as activities? Or is Thanksgiving a season of attitude for you? I was thinking about it the other day. Bethany, when she knew she was dying, she says, I want to go home one more time. I want to go outside. And she said, Daddy, I want this coat, special coat, like a lumberjack coat. I'd like to have one of those coats for Christmas. They're taking her to hospice. And I said, Lord, I don't know how we're going to keep that promise. We promised her, her mother and I promised her that she would go home, that she would go outside, and she'd get that coat. And I said to myself, I don't know how in the world we're going to do this. She's going to hospice. She's not coming home. She's not going out. This is it. And I went into hospice, and they said, we've got her room ready. They told me to go ahead of her and get everything ready. So she's still at the hospital. I go to hospice house in Greenville, and they said, we've got our room ready. Come in here and look at it and make sure everything's okay. And I walked in the room, and the room they assigned her was 107. Just keep that in your mind, 107. I had gone by the store and bought her that coat. And she wanted to wear it so bad. And so I remember they come to take her to hospice house. And I knew she'd never go anywhere else. And I said, guys, can you do me a favor? Can she wear this coat? They said, sir, she's no shape to put that coat on. I said, I promised her she would get this coat to wear. And they said, give it to us. And they put the coat on her this way, and they strapped it down. So there was one promise that God helps fulfill. Number two, she said she wanted to go home. And I got a chance to look at her and say, girl, because she was fading in and out. I said, guess where you're going? You're going to 107. Our address is 107. I didn't pick that hospice number. They picked it. God picked it. So I said, girl, you're going to 107. And she smiled. The next day, in room 107, she wanted to go outside. And that's what she'd wanted to do. She couldn't say anything. So her mother and I opened the great old big doors at hospice house and carried her outside. And as soon as we went outside, over at the Hope House, they started using leaf blowers. And to start with, I got a little aggravated. Until I remembered, every time we would go out in the backyard, our neighbor would start using his leaf blower. And you couldn't hear over it. And so after we carried her outside, those leaf blowers went off. And Linda said, look at there. Our neighbor is using his leaf blower just for you. It's amazing how I could really be upset. There was something maybe simple to you, but that promise we made to get her home, to get her outside, to get her that coat. And God did it. At least in her mind, God did it. I got a chance to give that coat to her half-sister. It's amazing how God works. Let God handle it. Learn to be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, and I want you to be honest. Be honest, because nobody's going to see you. The camera's in front of you. It's not behind you. It's in front of you. Nobody's going to see you. If you're here today, and number one, you say, you know what? I am not where I need to be with God. Maybe I got unthankful. You know, the opposite of being thankful is grumpy, grouch, complain all the time. You can't be thankful and complain all the time. You got to do one or the other. Bitter water, sweet water can't come out of the same fountain. If you're grumpy all the time and grouchy about everything, you cannot be thankful. But if you're thankful, it'll help you do away with the grumpy. You may be here this morning and you let the grumpy take over and you can tell me, I'm not where I need to be with God. I'm not going to call you up here. We're just going to stay right at your seat. And you can say, Pastor, I know me and God aren't where we're supposed to be together. Maybe it's because you haven't forgiven somebody, and so you're feeling the pressure because he said, I'm going to deal with you on earth. You won't forgive them. You're going to feel it because you're going to hinder your relationship with me. Whatever the reason may be, you're not where you want to be with God. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. Would you stick that hand up and say, I'm not where I need to be, and I want to make it right. I need to make it right. You put your hand down. Maybe you're here today, and you just got the COVID blues. And that's hindering your relationship with everybody because you got those COVID blues. Your whole world's turned upside down and you're having a hard time. It's hindering you. It's hindering you and God. It's hindering you and everybody else. And you just need God to show you one more time that although he seems silent, he's really working behind the scenes. Nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed. Would you put that hand up and say, that's me. That's me. I just got the COVID blues. I just need God to show me one more time. There's just too much going on. Too much happening. You can put your hands down. And maybe you could just say, you know what? I'm going to be totally honest with myself and with God today. I need to learn how to be more thankful. And I thank you for this message because it showed me how to be more thankful. I need to be more thankful so I can get more out of life than what I got going on now. With every head bowed, every eye closed, will you please put the hands up? I need to learn how to be more thankful. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. Let's all pray together. Ready? Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you got all of this. I ask you right now, Lord, to help me with my faith. Help me with forgiveness. Help me keep seeking your face. Help me focus in front of me, not behind me. Help me not to forget that you have not let me down ever before. And help me, God, to be thankful every day in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're doing something different on Tuesday night. We've been doing triggers. And so we're through with triggers. And until the first of the year, we're just doing some whatever somebody might want to do a study on. So this week, we're going to do a study on the Trinity.